Good morning, 738 News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Weird weather, let's put it that way. Coming off the Gulf, like from the south and the east, we've over the last couple of days we've had east winds. That's weird. But okay, you know, that system that's sitting over the center of Florida is supposed to move east north by northeast and up the coast and not become a thing for us. But even so, it's just going to be rain. So, you know, no big deal. Nothing to worry about. Joining us now by phone, as he does every Tuesday at about this time, Chip Simmons. He is the chief deputy for the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Chief, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Hey, I am doing well. How was Memorial Day weekend for you and your officers?
Well, it was busy. You know, the beach is what everyone asks about. There were a lot of people at the beach. It was very busy, but we did not have any significant calls for service. In fact, the only thing that we had over the weekend yesterday morning, looks like we had a report of shots fired near Denver and Seattle area. Neighbors reported hearing several shots. We get there. We did find one shell casing, but no one's reported to have been injured, and we don't have any suspects. But that's the only issue that we've had over the three-day weekend.
Interesting. So, you know, a weekend that's very busy for Pensacola. As you said, lots of people were here. I assume that your report from the officers is, you know, people are social distancing appropriately. That, you know, there wasn't anything that necessitated intervention.
Yeah, that's, in fact, I spoke to, over the weekend, I spoke to the beach lieutenant who had just left the beach. He says very crowded. Obviously, it takes a while to get there and I guess to get back. But, I mean, you know, in the summertime, especially during holiday weekends, the beach is going to be busy. And so we're going to have a lot of calls for service with some minor disturbances in the, here and there. But for the most part, it was regarding calls for service. It was pretty calm.
Well, that's good. And as you say, to have, you know, one incident with what we think was gunfire, but to only find one shell and nobody got hurt, I mean, you know, in the grand scheme of what can happen, I'll take that. You know what I mean? I mean, it's not good, but, you know, it's way less awful than it certainly could have been. You know, one of the stories that has come out over the last couple of days is you guys were involved in removing some homeless folks from the property that the county owns, I guess, by Beverly and W, which is like the southwest corner there. It's not at the park that everybody knows off of US 29. It's a little bit farther west than that, but it's behind some ball fields. There's a forest area there. How does that work when somebody, you know, like the county obviously owns the property, or if a private individual, you guys don't go looking for homeless to move them, right?
No, we haven't been. Made the correlation between if someone calls us and says, hey, this guy is on my property, I want him to leave and he won't leave, then we go there to facilitate that leaving. And then if they do not, then they're trespassing and then we can charge them. Typically what we'll do is we will go to a location, a house or property, and we will warn them, say, hey, they don't want you on our property anymore. Please leave. And then we'll put their name in our CAD or our computer-aided dispatch system. And then if we have to come back, then we can show that they have been warned one time. Well, in this case, that's the same thing that happens on county property. We were called by Escambia County Code Enforcement to assist them in removing some people from county property. And so we went over there. One person had been previously warned in the scenario that I mentioned a second ago, and he was charged with trespassing, but it was not something that we're going out there and looking for, this type of issue. But it is county property, and that they do have the right, the county representatives do have the right to call us up and say, hey, help us remove these people from county property. Now, I don't know the reason. I don't know if it felt like it was a danger there. I don't know if they're going to clear it, you know, and they have to have some heavy machinery in there. I don't know that. All I know is, again, much like we would respond to a homeowner if someone's at their house, we don't care why they don't want them on our property. And all we care about is making sure that the person leaves the property and no one gets injured.
And that's an important thing to understand, is that it really is entirely within the rights of the property owner to keep people that are not authorized to stay on their property from staying on their property. And you're there to enforce law, you know, you're there to enforce the law and protect the property rights of the individual or of the entity, like in this case, the county. And you mentioned, I just want to make sure to follow up on this. You did have one person that wound up getting cited, but that's because that person had been warned previously. And so warning one, citation subsequently, right?
That's correct. Again, We can't continue to go out there if someone, you know, day to day or hour by hour, if someone continues to violate this trespassing order, then, you know, obviously our deputies have better things to do than that. So we're not going to keep coming out there. And again, as I mentioned before, it's not up to us to determine, you know, how righteous the request is for someone to leave. Because can you imagine our deputies going out to every house or every apartment or every store and trying to determine whether it's right that this person or the owner doesn't want them on the property? That's, again, we don't have time for that. We'd be there for hours if we had to be the, you know, the person that decides who's right and who's wrong in these situations. Right. What we do is we determine who owns the property, and then we determine if the person that is talking to us or calling us has the authority, you know, the manager or the owner.
I wanted to ask you also, this is, I think, a good news story, but Elizabeth Jane Florian, she has been found. She was a missing 15-year-old, right?
Yes, my understanding is she has been found. And again, we've been putting those on our system just because we want people to know, you know, that this person is missing and get the information out so that we can recover these children as fast as we can.
I always debate with myself how much of this stuff we're going to cover, and I don't cover an awful lot of them, crimes involving children or attempted crimes involving children, just because if we did that, we could do it every day, and it's just so discouraging. But it is periodically worth reminding parents that there are people in our community who are a threat to our children. And in this case, you had a guy who was in his young, is like 71 years old, early 70s, and he tried to solicit sex with what he thought was a 12-year-old girl, but turned out to be one of your agents, right?
That's correct. You know, we are constantly on the internet, and we're constantly looking for people that might take advantage of our children. And just because it's not a real child, it is someone that we, you know, we pose as children from time to time on the internet, so that these people can be discovered. And we were able to, you know, in this case, find out that this man, this 71-year-old, had solicited what he thought was a child or a younger teenager for sex, and we ended up charging that person. I think what the important part here is that we're serious about the safety of our children. We understand that in the world we live in today with technology, that there are so many opportunities for pedophiles and people that would victimize our children, and we want to make sure that they all understand that, you know, if you think you're talking to a child, you may not be. You may be talking to authorities. And I know they understand that because we've been doing this for a dozen years or more. And we're going to continue to do that because the protection and safety of our children is obviously the highest priority for us.
Give me a sense of how big the danger is for most kids. And here's what I'm thinking about. We hear all the time about these kind of operations, whether it is deliberate, coordinated, or whether it is just you happen to catch somebody. We hear all the time about that. We also hear, not as often, in my perception, about actual cases where people do assault children sexually. My perception, based on what I see in the news, is we catch like 80%, and then some of these folks get away with it. But I know that may be skewed based on what we know. What is your perception? Are most of the people who are actively trying to do these horrific things, do they get caught, or do you think this is we need to be on our guard all the time because there's a lot of them running around?
You know, I believe that there are a lot of cases that go unreported. There are a lot of situations like this that go undetected by law enforcement. I think that there are people that are blatant about it. In this case, this guy was out on the internet and just blatantly saying, this is what I would like to do. I understand you're this old. I don't care about that sort of thing. To me, that's pretty blatant about it, which means I fear that this is not the first time they've been out there looking, you know, for a child to victimize or an individual to victimize. So to say what percentage, I really have no idea. You know, you talk about a crime like, another type of a crime, we get reports of so many, mm-hmm. but then there are a lot more that we just, you know, go undetected. So I would not venture to guess the number of cases in which people are out there. We know they're out there. We're obviously saddened by it, but we also, it energizes us to make sure that we stay out there. We stay on top of these things. That I don't know the half of all of these internet, you know, searches and these different chat rooms and that sort of thing. So we have some terrific partners with the FBI and the Internet Crimes Against Children, what we call ICAC.
Yeah.
And we have some people that are bona fide experts in this sort of thing. And so we have these online personas constantly, and we're constantly making sure that we do what we can to make sure our children are safe. But again, I'm sorry, I can't give you an estimate.
No, that's
because
fair.
I really have no idea. I fear that it would be many more than is detected.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I was just kind of curious because I think that's a question people have is how concerned should I be? And, you know, look, I treat this the way I treat any other threat to my kids. You know, we don't let them. Our kids don't have social media. They only have their school emails, you know what I mean? And they're not allowed to talk online to anybody under any circumstances, period, unless it's a classmate. Like, that's it. You know, so we're very, very restrictive with them. But, you know, that's for a reason, right? Which is kind of how you guys recommend we approach it. And I just want other parents to kind of know that, hey, the world is a dangerous place and you need to pay attention. And a hands-off approach is not the winning strategy. Chief Simmons, Chip Simmons with the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, sir, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. We appreciate the time and certainly, you know, we appreciate what you do to keep us safe.
You bet. Take care.